It's member-supported Hawaii Public Radio, all things considered, and I'm Dave Lawrence. We are thrilled because we've got a very special return engagement in Honolulu happening at the Blue Note. He played last night, and he's playing again tonight. It's Pat Metheny. He's back for what I believe is his first show here in 33 years. Does that sound accurate, Pat?
That sounds exactly accurate. I keep very elaborate notes and have since the late 70s. And I used to come here pretty often, you know. We used to play like at the Blaisdell, and we played, you know, at the Waikiki Shell several times. And then there was a weird other kind of club at one point that I can't remember what it was. So I was very happy to get invited here. It's great to be back.
It's wonderful to have you back. And thanks to Steve, the mystery emailer who sent me the information. It was October 1985. You guys were doing the Waikiki show, as you mentioned. That was the last of the gigs. It makes me think, when it comes to early childhood development, you're a guy who was surrounded by music by your family, and also the trumpet playing a really important role. And all of a sudden, at some point in your life, by exposure to different things on TV, I guess it was, with certain influences, others with maybe the brother bringing home a record. Explain, when you look back at yourself, how this really shaped you as a person, because here you are all these years later, and you've made such a comfortable living doing that same thing, working with music.
Well, you know, for me, I'm chronologically kind of right at that place where, I mean, I was born in 1954. So when I was like 8, 9, 10, that's sort of when the Beatles and all this kind of stuff emerged, where the guitar became more than just an instrument. It was sort of the iconic marker of something that was about to happen, and it did, you know. And somehow the guitar has a place in that story that's really singular. And I responded to that as a sort of pre-adolescent whatever, just the idea of a guitar. Where my story was a little odd, and I note this more and more as the years go by and I look back on it, because of this trumpet thing in my family that you're talking about. My brother Mike brought home a Miles record very shortly after I had kind of been attracted to the guitar, had finally convinced my parents not to buy me a guitar, but my Christmas present one year was permission to earn my own money to buy a guitar. That was the present, which I did. And for a few weeks after I got that guitar, I was kind of interested in rock and roll or whatever. But Mike brought home this Miles record, and I mean, it was literally like somebody flipping a switch for me. The record was Four and More. When I heard that record, that was just it for me. And I was 11. You know, I do hear this thing, like, you know, you hear people say about jazz. So it's like, you got to develop a taste for it and you got to learn. I mean, maybe for some people, but for me, it was like somebody hit me over the head with a baseball bat in about 1 second. That was it. It's like, man, whatever that is, I want to know what that is. And it's the same for me right now. It has not changed. I want to know what that is. And the natural response for me when I want to learn about music is to understand how it works. So that's been a process for me since then. But if I look at really what made the difference for me, certainly, yes, my family was musical and all that. But the main thing was I happened to be born 30-some miles away from Kansas City, at a period where there was a very active local scene in Kansas City with incredible musicians and just weirdly no guitar players, or very few. So I ended up being able to start working when I was about 14. So by the time I was 17 and left Kansas City, I had worked hundreds of gigs with great musicians. To this day, some of the best musicians I've ever been around. And that was the thing for me. And that's still the thing, is that being around people who are better than you are is the place to be. If you're around good musicians, that makes you better. Age 14, 15, 16, 17, it was all organ trio kind of stuff with guys who could really, really play. And that was a huge thing for me and remains a huge thing for me.
You described it well. You filled a real hole. There was nobody to play the guitar, so you were able to do a lot of gigs in that moment. when Bill Lee shows up. I know you've told the story many times, but for people who are aspiring, who are trying to develop anything in their life, explain how you go from being asked to come to a school on a scholarship, and within a week, they've made the move. No, you could actually be a teacher here.
It's one of those kind of weird things. It's true. I mean, and again, you kind of have to look at it in the context of that time, which was very different than now. So being my age, I graduated from high school in 1972. It was a mercy graduation because the story that I just described from the point that I heard Miles till the time I got out of high school, I never took a book home. And I managed to fake my way somehow through all of this, except for two classes that you cannot fake, which are typing and Spanish. But the thing is, I mean, now I have three kids. So I understand a lot of stuff now that I didn't understand at all at the time about my parents. And for sure, the happiest day of their entire lives was the day you mentioned that Dr. Bill Lee, who was the dean of the music school at the University of Miami, came to Kansas City specifically to recruit me to go to the University of Miami, because at that point in time, there were only two places in the United States that were universities, accredited universities, where you could study electric guitar. Electric guitar was not recognized as an actual instrument. The University of Miami decided that they were going to do it. So Dr. Lee had heard about me from, I don't know, the grapevine or whatever, about the Midwest, and came. And so when I went home and told my mom and dad, hey, there's a guy, he's offered me a full scholarship. I mean, they were like crying with joy because they, you know, I mean, as far as they were concerned, me deciding I'm going to be a jazz musician playing the guitar is exactly the equivalent if one of my kids came home and said, Dad, I've decided I'm going to become a professional Minecraft player. You know, I mean, it's like, no, you're not. I mean, I would be like, that's insane. That's what it was for them, you know. So I go down to the University of Miami. They were expecting four or five students. They had 80 electric guitar students that had just showed up. They freaked because they had one teacher and they needed another teacher. Part two of this is that, so I enroll at the University of Miami and I go to English 101 because the University of Miami is an actual university. I mean, I was very close to illiterate. I had just faked from sixth grade to 12th grade. So I'm like, there is no way I'm going to be able to hang with this. That night, after that English class, I met Jaco Pastorius, who became my best buddy. We ended up playing all night, and he had a gig, and he said, hey, man, you got to make this gig. So within 2 days, I was working in Miami and, you know, skipping classes already. So I went to Dr. Lee after a week, and I was like, this is great that you did this and all that, but, you know, I can't do this, man. And he said, well, we were meaning to talk to you anyway, and then they hired me to teach. So I taught there for a year, and during that year is when I met Gary Burton at a festival back in the Midwest, and then he offered me a gig to teach at Berkeley with kind of the caveat, like, maybe I'm going to hire you, which was my dream gig. That was like joining the Beatles for me. And if I had done nothing in my entire life except play Walter L. with Gary Burton one time, that would have been more than my wildest dream. And I ended up very shortly after that joining his band when I just turned 19.
Well, that's a great way to wrap it up. Huge thrill that you would take some time for us. The great Pat Metheny, the one and only. He's got one more night with a pair of shows coming up tonight, and we're really grateful that you would take some time for us, and hopefully this kept you somewhat interested.
Oh, it's been great. Thank you. I really appreciate it. I'm so happy to be back here in Hawaii to play for everybody. Aloha, everybody. It's Pat Metheny. I don't care what else is going on. I don't miss this show. Even if I'm on the other side of the world, in the middle of a gig, I could be sleeping, it doesn't matter. It all comes to a screeching halt when this show starts. It's All Things Considered on member-supported Hawaii Public Radio. We're with my friend Dave Lawrence,